There will be two passages today in our Bible reading. The first is from Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. The second passage is from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you have gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Peter, for reading for us. Good evening, everyone. My name's Leslie. Great to see you here. Regulars and visitors alike. Please do follow along in the back of the bulletin or in the middle of the bulletin, those Bible readings that Peter read for us as we finish this short series, as Alex said, thinking about the difference Jesus makes and particularly when I can't find meaning. Let me pray for us with God's word open before us and we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word that it reveals to us who you are and what you're like. And it shows us the way of life. Please, Lord, would you give us ears to hear and hearts to believe all that you would say to us and help us to respond in faith and obedience, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To be or not to be, that is the question. In that famous quote from William Shakespeare, one of his characters, Hamlet, is asking whether a life filled with hardship is worth living. This theme of the issues of life is an issue that Shakespeare often explores throughout his characters. This quest for a purpose. Why am I here? What's life all about? In another one of his plays, another famous quote, he says, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. Shakespeare says people come and go. They enter the stage, they exit the stage, and each of us plays a role, a job for a short time, and then another job for another time, and then at some point or another, we exit off the stage to return no more. It's a deep question, isn't it? And there's plenty of rich imagery we might use to describe how we think about life and the meaning of life. Shakespeare uses lots of other imagery. The language of a ball of yarn, a walking shadow, a stupid tale told by an idiot, even something made of the stuff of dreams. What is the meaning of life? That's the question we're asking today. It's the final stop in our little series, The Difference Jesus Makes. And so that's where we begin, the quest for meaning. Shakespeare uses lots of imagery. There's lots of other imagery we might use. The language of life as a journey, a race. Maybe it's a garden to be tended, a tree to be nurtured, an art canvas to be painted upon, a storybook whose chapters are yet to be told. Often this imagery is inspiring, it's beautiful, sometimes it's dark and depressing. But always, the imagery is given to help us to explore how we're to make the most of life, to find meaning in the exhilarating moments, as well as in those mundane portions of our existence. The book of Ecclesiastes, introduced in that first reading, seeks to ask and to answer that question. What is the meaning of life? And the teacher's response really is quite simple and straightforward. In verse 2, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. The Hebrew word here used for meaningless conjures up this imagery of vapor, of mist, of smoke, the sort of thing that is hard to grasp hold of. The more you try to hold on to it, the more quickly it disappears. It slips away. Maybe you know that feeling about your life when you get up in the morning and you think, what's the point? Why am I getting up out of bed? Why should I bother? It's helpful, perhaps, to think of another one of Shakespeare's famous phrases, the wild goose chase. It's not a phrase he uses to explore the meaning of life, but it's perhaps one that the teacher in Ecclesiastes would use. It's the idea of a wild goose chase that it's pointless. It's a futile experience, chasing after something which is unattainable. You charge around in this chaos of feathers, of noise, of movement, and ultimately the chase goes nowhere. Meaningless, meaningless, fleeting like wisps of smoke. It's right there, and yet it quickly fades away. Or later on in the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about a chasing after the wind. Maybe you look at children running around in a playground, and that's what it feels like. Why are they spending all this energy doing nothing? It's a chasing after the wind. And that's a summary, really, of what the teacher in Ecclesiastes has to say. Whether it's wealth or pleasure or status, the teacher has tried it all. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, after our reading, has these words to say: I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Whatever he tried, whatever he looked to for meaning, none of it satisfied. And so it is for us. Whatever we strive after to make sense of life, it's never enough, is it? Once again, maybe we know something of that experience. From the child at a school with endless homework, wondering why, what's the point of all this? To holidays and birthdays and Christmases and getting more toys and going to the gadget shop and thinking, do I really need more of this? Is it really going to get me real pleasure? Or think about the excitement of that last promotion or pay rise you had. Maybe for the first month or two or three after you got that pay rise and you saw the money in your bank account, you were so excited. And 2 years later, 3 years later, I have some money to spend. Great. Or that new car. If you've ever bought a new car and you take it out for a drive, you're so excited. It's so fancy and new and shiny. Now, what's a car? It's a box with four wheels that takes you places. The shininess, the excitement fades. And Ecclesiastes says all of this is meaningless, a mist that disappears. And the reason, Ecclesiastes says, is that we know, in the end, our lives, our achievements, our struggles, our joy and our sorrows, none of it has any real lasting significance. Even good things, family and friends, doing a good job, starting a successful business, growing a garden, creating beautiful arts, even good things ultimately have no lasting meaning. Because in the end, nothing lasts. It all fades away. It all disappears. And that's what the teacher points to repeatedly, these two things, the passage of time and the ending of human life, death. Time and death, these two things. Ultimately, our lives are very short. Our lives don't really endure. The mountains that were here before we were born, those same mountains will be here after we're dead. The oceans, the sea that comes in and out, nothing changes over the course of our lifetime, not really. In the end, wise or foolish, rich or poor, each of us will be forgotten. Whatever our wealth, career, social status, pleasure, even if we live a life full of stress and anxiety, trying to chase lots and experience lots, in the end, whatever we have, Ecclesiastes reminds us that we leave it all behind. We cannot take it with us. A couple of weeks ago, We looked at a Calvin and Hobbes comic. Here's one more. I promise not to go back to Calvin and Hobbes too often, but here's a great one. Calvin's looking up at the stars in space and he shouts, "I'm significant. I'm someone. I've done something." Shouted the little kid, "That is really but a speck of dust in the great vacuum of space. Am I really, truly significant?" But somehow, even that truth, right? This truth that it's all meaningless, somehow even that truth is unsatisfactory. But surely our heart screams out, that can't be the final word. That can't be the final truth. Because we yearn for more. We want there to be more to life. Surely something counts, doesn't it? Ecclesiastes 3 tells us why. It says that eternity has been set in the hearts of humanity by God. God has set eternity into our hearts. We're made for much more than nothingness, than meaninglessness. And so we need something much more substantial. We do need the knowledge of the Lord. And Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that this is the difference between us and the living God. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him." Do you see the difference between us and the Lord? Our lives are meaningless, a vapor. We'll disappear quickly, we'll be forgotten, but not the things of the Lord. God is enduring, a firm foundation. In contrast to our fleeting lives, the Lord lives forever. Beyond us, there is the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is filled with unending glory and an unshakable reality. And so the Bible has lots to say, doesn't it, about God being dependable? It's language that many of us will be familiar with. It's the fact that God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's Christ, the solid rock. It's the language of God being this fortress and a stronghold, our shield and our refuge, that God is faithful and unchanging. That's where John 17, our second Bible reading, began. Jesus is on his way to the cross, and he's praying to his Father, and he says in verse 1 of John 17, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him." And he ends this little section by saying, "Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." This glory of God, Father, Son, Spirit, from eternity past into endless ages, an unshakable, unchanging reality. To know this God changes everything. To know this God is eternal life. And this knowledge is not just information. This knowledge is about relationship. It's about intimacy. It's to know God not just as the Father, but my Father. To know that Jesus is not just the Son of God, but he's my brother. To know that the Spirit is not just the giver of life, but that he lives in me. To have my life bound up with God's life is to have the fullness of life, is to know and to have eternal life. What does this have to do with the meaning of life? What's that have to do with the deep question we're asking tonight? Well, it tells us what we're created for. It tells us that there is a more solid reality, that we might feel like all the world is meaningless. We might agree with Ecclesiastes, but as we yearn for more, as we desire more, as we look to the Lord, we see that there is more. Here is the one in whom we can find an unchanging, unending reality upon which to build our lives. We are created to know this God, to be known by him. And to know him is our purpose. That is our meaning. We live in a world that is increasingly becoming environmentally conscious. People are becoming environmentally friendly, or more and more so, over the years. And we're told to reduce how much we use, to reuse things, to perhaps even repurpose things. And so if you trawl the internet and you're scrolling along, you might come across these everyday item hacks to repurpose those things in our house that we don't use anymore that we might throw away. For example, take some books. Instead of tossing out old books that you might not read, you can use it as a knife rack in your kitchen. Bind it up, stick some knives in it. Bob's your uncle. It's a great way to use books. But I wonder whether if you did that, every time you looked at that book, you'd ask yourself the question, is that really what the book's for? I'd feel quite dissatisfied. I'd feel quite bad putting a slightly wet knife or getting a splash of oil. That's not what the book is for. The book is made for something else. The book is made to be read. Oh, we might sometimes use a book to prop open a door, to hold down something heavy. Or we might use it as a knife block. We might not ever read it, but we know deep down that that is the meaning, the purpose for its creation. It was made to be read. And so it is for us. Humanity, you and I, were made for one thing. We're made to know God, our Creator, to be known by Him, to enjoy His goodness, His kindness to us. That is your purpose. That is your reason for waking up each morning. And until we live that reality, we'll chase all sorts of other things. We might try to repurpose ourselves, hack our lives into another use. But as long as we do that, everything will be meaningless. A vapor, a chasing after the wind. My life takes on meaning when I realize the purpose for which I was created, to live in right relationship with the Lord Jesus. And now, what does that look like? What does it look like to enjoy eternal life? Well, let's keep looking at Jesus. We see two things here in John chapter 17. Look at verse 4 with me. In verse 4, we see Jesus doing the work God gives him to do. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Eternal life comes from knowing God's commands. It's about doing the tasks that He sets before us. We don't need to chase our own dreams. We don't need to figure out our own special story. What's my meaning? What's my purpose in this world? I live the life that God calls me to. We obey His commands. But secondly, in verse 5, now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus finds glory in God. He doesn't have to earn it. He doesn't even have to seek it out. He doesn't need to get to the end of his life and look back and think, what have I done that is meaningful? What have I done that is praiseworthy? I don't need to chase achievements. I don't need to chase some sort of greatness or legacy that I leave behind. Glory is found in God. And we share in that glory as we enjoy good relationship with the Lord. We don't achieve greatness. God is already great. And as we unite our life into His life, so our lives become great as He is great. Ultimately, what this looks like is, in the language of the Bible, a quiet life. Not a boring life, don't get me wrong, but a quiet life. Just getting on with the work that God has called us to. Getting on with the tasks before us each day. And as we do those things each day, we give God the glory day by day. That's it, the simple, quiet life. Here are two passages from the Bible that might give us a bit of a hand with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 has this to say. Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Do you hear that? Love one another and mind your own business, work with your hands, get on with the tasks of every day. And not constantly comparing and fretting and being busybodies, getting all caught up in the affairs of other people around us. Just get on with life. Oh, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So orientate yourselves towards the Lord, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We're not to be lazy or useless, but neither are we to be fanatic and restless. We're to pursue a quiet life in all godliness and holiness. That's what we should long for in our society and our community. And so we pursue relationship with the Lord. We enjoy knowing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We enjoy giving him glory. We live in obedience to him. We point away from ourselves and submit to the God who made us. And that is the meaning and the purpose of life, to know this God. And that's why we love to open the Bible. This is God's primary way of revealing himself to us. In this Bible, in these words, we get to know who God is and what he's like. We find the meaning of life. And so John 17 tells us so clearly, eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And so if you're a Christian here today, you are already living eternal life. Eternal life starts today. Well, it started the day you became a Christian, the day you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you shared in his life, you became a Christian. And from that moment on, eternal life began for you. And we could spend endless hours debating and speculating, what's it like in heaven? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to see? But actually, we don't need to do that. We know what heaven's going to be like. We're going to enjoy good relationship with the Lord. And everything else will flow from there. To know God is to have eternal life. And so maybe you're here today, you're not a Christian. Well, the Bible says that until you do know him, you'll chase after this, you'll chase after that, and you'll chase some more. And it'll be like chasing the wind. Or maybe you are a Christian, and even though you know the Lord Jesus, you're still chasing many, many things. You're not settled. You're not enjoying that quiet stillness of knowing the Lord. Well, we want to set aside all those other things and fix our eyes only in the Lord. And receiving his commands, receiving his goodness, his relationship, then I'll be firm and secure in who I am. We'll experience, in the language of the story that we heard earlier and that we read in our bulletin, we'll experience rest, true rest for our bodies and for our souls. We'll experience the joy of freedom to love God, to love others, to serve the church. We'll be able to care for our friends, our family. We'll be able to enjoy good food and sunny days. We'll be able to get through the hard days and the typhoons because we know that there is one unchanging truth, that the Lord Jesus is seated on his throne. God the Father does rule over all creation. The Spirit of God does live within me. And so I don't need to chase the things of this world. I don't need to chase experiences. I don't need to get too frustrated when things go wrong. But I simply get on with a quiet life of knowing Jesus, walking in obedience and giving glory to God. Just as we finish, there's a great church pastor in the UK who passed away to be with the Lord a few years ago, a man called Richard Buse. On many occasions, he shared how every morning he'd repeat these words. It's simple, simple words that shaped his life. Today, he said, is another day of adventure on planet Earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. That is the meaning and the purpose of life. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for making us. Thank you for creating us, for shaping us in your image, that we might know you, that we might love you. Help us to walk closely with the Lord Jesus, and more to find our rest, our contentment, our satisfaction, our purpose in him. Lord, help us to set aside those things in this world which distract us and which claim our hearts. Or would we find that Jesus is all that we need, and that as we walk with him, we'd know the very purpose for which we're created. We'd know and enjoy the fullness of eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.